Look in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight, book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I appreciate you being in your place on this Wednesday night, and I'm so thankful God has allowed us to have strength and mind enough and body enough to make our way to the house of God, amen, and we thank the Lord for His goodness to us. I want to look here to look at a couple of verses, and this is where we'll begin our thought tonight. I began a message several weeks ago on God's one another plan, and I want to pick up a little bit with that tonight. I want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I began in verse number 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 25. The Bible said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, as I stand here tonight, I sure do need you. Had to touch me, enable me, give me the very words that I need to say tonight. Lord, I confess, Lord, of my inability, but Lord, I'm glad you're able to exceed in abundance of all that we could ask or think. Father, you know the one that's lost here tonight. I pray you convict them and save them. I pray for us as your people, may we receive the instruction of the word of God tonight. May we apply it. May we live by it. Oh, God, help us. I pray above everything, I pray you'll be glorified in all we say and do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. As I said, I began a few weeks ago preaching that thought on God's one another plan. God's one another plan. We saw in that message, we saw in John 13, verse 34 and 35, that we are to love one another. He said that's how the world knows that we're His disciples. It's because we love one another. Amen. Then we looked at Romans 14 and verse 13, that we're not to judge one another. We're not to set our self up, that we're better than everybody else and look down at others, but we need to learn to judge our own selves. Amen. And tonight, I look at about three places and three other areas in this one another plan. Tonight, let me say this, a third point in this series of messages, we are to care one for another. That's what verse 25 said, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And we're instructed here. Now understand this, in this chapter, in the first 11 verses, the Bible in these texts is dealing with spiritual gifts. But then in verse 12 down through verse 31, he is reminding us that we that are saved, we make up the body of Christ. Hey, I'm glad to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. We find there in verse 13 that our place in the body, when you got saved, the Holy Ghost baptized you into the body of Christ. Then we find in verses 14 through 26, our purpose in the body. We all have our place in the body of Christ. All of us don't have the same place, and He didn't intend for us to. And by the way, those verses also teach us He has placed us in the body where it pleased Him. Where He wanted us is where He's placed us. Amen. And then we see in verse 27, our particularity in the body. We're members in particular there in verse 27. But as we're thinking about the body, he said that there be no schisms in the body. That word schism means a split or division or dissension or insurrection. He said that shouldn't be so in the body of Christ, but we're to have the same care one for another. Now that word care there, it does mean to care for, yes, but it means to look out for, to seek to promote one's interests, providing for, to take thought of others, and to show concern. So ladies and gentlemen, a part of this one another that we find in the scriptures, we're to care one for another. And may I say this, it is good to be a part of a local assembly that does care. Amen. Hey, it's a blessing. Some of us were talking before service. Man, it's good when you have someone come by and shake your hands. I want you to know, I've been thinking about you this week. I've been praying for you. I let you know in your time of trouble. Oh, I care. I'm concerned. If there's something I can do, let me know. Hey, that's how the body of Christ operates. We care for one another. I don't know what lost people do. I'm honest with you. When trouble comes, they have what they call friends, but there's a point all the friends go home. Amen. Hey, but I want to tell you something. It's good to be a part of the body of Christ. Have people you know is praying for you and can pray. Amen. I'll tell you this with all honesty, and remember this. The prayer God hears out of us is because we're born again. We're coming through Christ. Amen. Oh, friend, we're to show that care one for the. Hey, our Savior cares. That's how, and by the way, that's why we care. Is that the Savior cares. I was thinking early this morning, many times talked about the Lord, how his heart was moved with compassion. We find that he looked over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he said, I'd like to gather you as a hen, does its little ones. And why? He cared. Amen. And because the Savior cares, we care. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm glad to be among a group of believers that will show that care one for another. You'll never know, church, listen to me. You'll never know what that moment that you take extra to let somebody in the church family know you love them and let you pray for them. You'll never know what power that can have. Amen. Sometimes we don't know when we come to church. The largest percent of people, when they come to church, they put on a smile. Biggest part of folk do. There's some that don't, and that's, you know, neither here nor there. But most folk come in, and it seemed like everything's good. Everything's fine. But if the truth was known, their heart's breaking sometimes when they come. They're burdened down about the job. They're concerned about their children. There's a lot of things can be on their heart. And just taking that extra moment, say, hey, I want you to know how much I care for you. Oh, friend, we're to care one for another tonight. Hey, I commend you for doing that, and I encourage you to keep doing that. Amen. Oh, friend, that we had showed that the, hey, listen, that's another way the world knows about how that we've been born again. Hey, they see that concern out of us. Amen. So we find in this verse that we're to have care one for another. But then I want you to look over at Galatians chapter 6 just a moment. In Galatians chapter 6, here's the fourth thing that we find in God's one another plan. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, the Bible said in Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So fourthly, we are to bear one another's burdens. Amen. Now, let me say this tonight. As I was studying and been looking at this verse, and you know me, I love looking up words, and man, they help you get a hold of really what's being emphasized in a verse. That word bear there means to lift. It means to take up, to uphold, to support, to take up in order to carry. Listen to this, to put upon oneself. You're taking theirs, putting on yourself. It means to be ready to carry. But here's an interesting definition, to walk. To walk. Preacher, what in the world's that got to do? Well, in other words, we're to put ourselves in their shoes. Amen. If we really bear one of those burdens, that's what we're doing. We're saying, how would I want them to pray for me? What kind of help, support would I want if that was me? Amen. Hey, you've heard this through the years. I've said for 25 years I've been a pastor. The difference in major and minor surgeries, who's having it? Amen. Minor if it's you, major if it's me. Say amen, nod your heads. It does. I know we ain't supposed to make that. I know all that, but you know the reality of it too. But the Bible's teaching us to bear that for each other. Be there for each other. Bear one another's burden. That word burden means weights or a treble or their load. So we're there to help them. Hey, the book of Ecclesiastes talks about how two is better than one. Why? If you got two, it'd help you from falling. Hey, man, that's what we're being taught in that passage. Hey, we're here to bear one another, uphold, lift up one another, my friend. Hey, can I say this about this verse? It is a command. He's not asking. He's not giving a suggestion. When it has those words, bear ye, it's just other places, same way. A command's given to bear one another's burdens. Man, I go back, this point and that other point of caring, they yoke together. They're yoked together. Because if you really care, you'll help bear. Amen. And to know someone that's come alongside and will hold you up when you're so weak and when you're so beat down and weary, it is good to have another brother or sister in Christ who is concerned enough that they'll get up under and help us bear that burden. Oh, friend, I thank God for that. There's the command. There's the compliance of that verse. It said, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to fulfill the law of Christ? Help bear that brother's burden. Amen. Be there. Be an encourager to them. Man, I thought about this for days. I've been thinking on this since about Sunday afternoon. I felt like the Lord's going to have me come back to this thought tonight. And when I thought about that, it said, bear one of the burdens. And it talked about coming up and helping that load, taking it up, carrying it. My mind went back to an old Primitive Quartet song that said, if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. Amen. And that's what we're here. We're getting under, can I word it like this? We get in the yoke together. Amen. It sure makes it easier to bear the yoke when you got two in the yoke. Amen. So we find we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ tonight. Oh, friend, we're to care one for another. We're to bear one another's burdens. But then look also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. We see a fifth thing in God's one another plan. And we say, well, love one another. Don't judge one another. Care one for another. Bear one another's burdens. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible said, wherefore comfort yourselves together. And listen to this. And edify one another, even as also ye do. So we're also to edify one another. Now that word edify, now listen to the definition of this word edify. What does it mean? Preacher, what does it mean to edify one another? Well, that word edify means to be a home builder. It means to build up, to construct. You listen to me? To confirm. It means also to strengthen and to teach. It's got the idea of discipleship. We're helping one another to build up our faith in Christ. We're there adding to them, not to take away, but adding to them to help them be strengthened in the things of God. You know, most of us, if we'd be honest, it would have been good when we first got saved if somebody would have come by and kind of gave us some pointers on some of this. Amen. Now, even when I got called to preach, I said, yeah, Lord, I'll do it. I didn't have one clue how you got a message together. And nobody even took time to tell me. That's the reason why these boys have surrendered to preach. I take them all, show them how to outline a passage of scripture. I wish somebody had done that for me. I didn't even know hardly where to start and finish that when I first started preaching. Amen. Just someone taking it. You're investing in their spiritual life. Oh, somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know it. Hey. If it ain't nothing but say, well, hey, go to prayer room with me. Do you know how you learn to pray? Get around folk and pray. That's right. That's how you learn to pray, by being around others that'll pray out loud. It'll help teach you about your own personal prayer life. Amen. So it's good. We're that edify. We're to edify. We're to build up. We're to strengthen. We're there to help one, teach one another. You see, we are to promote spiritual growth and development of character in other believers by teaching and by example, as suggesting such spiritual progress as the result of patient labor. So let me say this about edifying one another. It is a task. You don't accidentally help edify anybody. You got to make a conscious decision to do it. You got to say, I'm going to help them. I want to be a blessing to them. I want to see them grow. I want to see them go forward for the glory and honor of God. So edify, teach, instruct. Hey, give them a word of encouragement. It's a task. And listen, I'm glad for men that invested in my life. The men that ordained me, there's three of them now in heaven. Another one of the men ordained me died about 2 weeks ago. Those men invested in my ministry, in my life, gave me good advice as a young pastor. And some things they told me would probably make the average church member mad, but they were trying to help me so that I wouldn't make the same mistake that they did. And I'm thankful for that. You say, what do you mean by that? They told me not to neglect my own family over the church. That's right. They took time, sat me down, said, son, and when I first started pastoring, I was working a 40-hour week job, going to Bible college, everything, pastoring my first church. And when they ordained me, they said, son, don't you use all your vacation time running to the hospital. Now, that unnerves the average Baptist. But you know why they said that? They said, your wife and your children need you as a husband and a daddy sometime other than being just the pastor. Amen. I try my best to have time for my family. Even little Chloe, she's 8 years old. Me and her have daddy-daughter day. We'll go to the library together. I mean, I'm not checking nothing out, but she's thrilled. She learned to read, and I'm glad she has. And we go and enjoy a good day. I'm just daddy on that day. I'm not the preacher. I'm just daddy. So that was things they instilled in me that's helped me and has helped my family. Oh, friend, but then they've also told me, you study to preach, son. Get in that book. Get in that place of prayer. Man, they instilled that in me, and I do. I try my best, start my morning in prayer and reading the Bible to help me grow, and then begin studying what he wants me to preach to you. Amen. What's the pastor doing? He's edifying. He's trying to build you. I am never trying to tear you down. Even those messages that, you know, where the rubber meets the road type preaching, that ain't to tear you down. That's to warn you. That's to help you. That's to help you from making shipwreck. Amen. So what are you doing? Edifying, trying to build, trying to strengthen you. Most of my Wednesday night preaching is really geared that way. Most of what I do on Wednesday is an edify, exhort. That's my goal on Wednesday night. I'm glad you're here. Have you noticed something a little over 2 years? Have you noticed I don't preach on faithfulness at church on Wednesday night? Have you noticed that? I don't think I really need to. You here. Do you ever notice when I do preach on it? Anybody got a guess? Sunday morning. Damn crowd just come in for one service, don't come back. That's who I'm preaching faithfulness to. They need to get faithful. Amen. You're here, so you know what I'm going to do while you're here? I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you something to strengthen your inner man to help you not to quit. Amen. Try to give you a little bit to get you here back Sunday. Amen. Hey, that's what we're doing. We're edifying one another. Do you realize sometimes when it's not meant for every service to have a testimony meeting, but there are those times when God moves that way. You know what that time does for your preacher? It edifies me. As I hear you brag on the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, son, that's why we tell you to preach and preach like you do. Hey, it helps. You begin edifying me. That's right. You said, I'm bragging on the Lord. That's right. And you bragging on the Lord helps me. Amen. Amen. So we find we are to edify, want to build. And let me say this before I close on that point. Edifying takes time. It ain't quick. Matter of fact, it's lifelong. Amen. You know that. I've had young preachers come to me and they'll ask me different questions. And I've got any more, I tell them like this. I say, I know less now than when I first started preaching. I don't feel like I know half of what I did then, because I really didn't know nothing. Amen. You know what's going on? It's time involved in this thing. I believe we're going to be learning until God takes us out of here. If you ever quit learning, you just say, God, help me. I'm in a bad shape. I'm in a bad way. I ain't been learning. And he'll help you learn. Amen. Hey, so we need to understand it takes time. Invest. Can I encourage you with these new converts we've got lately? It'd be good somebody just every now and then, other than the preacher and other than Brother Tim, other than somebody on staff, for some, just, hey, I love you. Glad to see you. You ever need me, holler at me. Amen. Take some time. Invest in one another. You say, preacher, but what, you know, preacher, sometimes folk quit. They do. They do. I know what it is to take time to strengthen, to try to build it, and then they just quit church. I know how that feels. It hurts. It wounds you. But that ain't going to stop me from doing it to somebody else. Amen. Because see, somebody else needs somebody to come along and say, hey, I want to help you, I want to pray with you, I want to help encourage you, I want to instruct you. Amen. Hey, I'm glad somebody did that for me. Amen. Oh, friends and I, we are to care one for another. We are to bear one another's burden, and we're to edify one another. Now, I've just got a couple more that I'll deal with another time, but I just want to encourage us tonight to always keep that care, that concern that we've had as a church. Cultivate it. Don't let it get stale. Don't just get used to how things are. Ask God to keep your heart tender and fresh for the things of God and encourage Him the things of God. We need to pray that way. Amen. Oh, friend, tonight, may we always be a church that cares. Amen. May we always be a church that'll help bear one another's burdens. May we always be a church to edify one another. Amen. Father, I pray you take the message and use it tonight. Encourage the people of God. I've tried just to give a little instruction from your word tonight. And Lord, I pray help us all to apply it and live by it. And oh God, thank you for how you have blessed your church. You've been better to us than what we deserve. And God, we give you glory for everything you've done. Lord, for every soul that you've saved here in the last month. Lord, we rejoice. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord for the souls that you have saved. Lord, it's not us, but God, you've allowed us to be there. Now may we encourage one another along the Christian journey. And all you do, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand tonight. And as you stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know necessarily what kind of need or burden you came in with tonight, but I'm glad the Lord does, and I'm glad that the Lord is interested in us, and He invites us to come to His throne to find help. And maybe tonight you need to come pray, burdened down about something. This altar's open for you tonight. And again, boy, I thank God for a church. We are a blessed church, blessed. God's blessed us, and I thank Him for it. And while we sing, if you need to come, you come tonight.